Hello, everybody, and welcome to the fifth episode of the Aardvark Accessibility Podcast. Today we have Natalie MacLees. She is an accessibility expert prepared to talk about the different certifications in accessibility. And I'm your host, Natalie Garza, an accessibility novice. So, Natalie, I'm glad to have you join us today. Do you have any words to start us off?
Hi, Natalie. Thanks for having me. Natalie and Natalie, at it again.
Natalie, at it again for the Aardvark fifth episode. Make sure to check out the episodes. All right, so let's kick off this podcast. What are the different types of certifications? Do you want to start with the first category?
Yeah, well, I think before I start going into them, I think I do want to address that in most cases, there's not really a single industry accepted certification for accessibility. So it's a little bit of a wild, wild west right now, but we can talk about a few organizations that are offering them and what that means and what it looks like. So one of the first ones, and I think the one that most people are familiar with these days is from the IAAP, the International Association of Accessibility Professionals. They're a relatively new organization that was created at a accessibility conference called CSUN. It's a pretty well-established accessibility conference. And the organization was formed just because of this problem, but there was no industry accepted certification. And so they were created just to try to create that. And they have established a handful of certifications. I think they're working on even more, and they administer the testing, and it's through them that you would maintain your certification. I can't say that they have been really accepted as the industry standard certification at this point, and a lot of accessibility professionals who've been practicing for a long time actually don't like it and refuse to get their IAAP certification. But everybody has a different opinion. I chose to get mine because I think it's important to support that effort. I think it's an important goal that they have. And I think I wanted to demonstrate my support for it, even if there are some things about it that could be better. I think that's probably always the case for a certification. So they offer a handful of different ones. The most basic one would be CPAC or CPACC, which has like a really long name, so you have to call it CPAC. It is, okay, Certified Professional in Accessibility Core Competencies. And that is the most basic one. It's not a technical certification at all. It's just really focused on here are the different kinds of disabilities and how they can impact people's use of digital technology. And here's all the different laws around the world that apply to it. So it's not at all a technical certification. And then there is WAS, which is a web accessibility specialist, and that is a hands-on, like for front-end developers mainly. It's a very HTML-focused course and test. And then if you get both of those, if you get both CPAC and WAS, then you automatically get this bonus third certification, which is CPWA, a Certified Professional in Web Accessibility. And it's not a separate test. It's not separate classes or anything. That one just says you have these other two, which is a little bit weird that there's a separate one that's just made up of two others, but that's okay. And then their newest one that they just introduced, I think a year or two ago, is the ADS or the Accessible Document Specialist, because trying to test and remediate PDFs and other types of documents is a whole specialty all on its own and is way more complicated than you might suspect. And so they have that separate certification now just for that one. The certifications through them are a little bit pricey. First, you're probably going to end up having to pay for a course to study for it. It is pretty difficult to try to study all of the course material from free resources. It's kind of hard to, you have to be really good at research and kind of putting that all together. So there's, they have a handful of education or educational courses that they endorse that you can pay for. And they're pretty reasonably priced. But then you also have to pay to take the test. And it's quite expensive to pay to take the test. It's around $500. And then, of course, if you don't pass, you have to pay to take it a second time. Though I think they do give you a discount in that case, but it's still very pricey. And when I did my tests, I think they do them more remotely now, but I had to go to a corporate testing center to take my tests. And so you're in this weird environment on not your own computer. And for some reason, they give you two sheets of paper and a pencil, just two sheets of blank paper and a pencil that I'm not exactly sure what those are for. But they give them to you. So those are the certifications through the IAAP. So do you have any questions about those?
I had some in mind, but I forgot them now. I need to start writing these down.
Did I distract you with the two sheets of paper and a pencil?
Yeah. It reminds me of what are those like state mandated tests before you go into college? Like those
SATs, yeah.
They're just like, you have to go to this random campus, take those.
It is like that. Yeah. It feels very much like that. And, you know, the testing center, they do all kinds of tests for all different kinds of companies, right? So all the people who work there don't know anything about the tests you're taking. And all they do is they get this little set of instructions, which for these tests, for some reason, tells them to give you two sheets of paper and a pencil.
Oh my God, you're going to write down your HTML notes. You're like, enough. It's the ARIA label. Okay, I got it. I know the
answer. Yeah, it's not like you're doing mathematical calculations. I don't know.
That's pretty goofy. I don't have any questions right now. I think we can continue, and I'll try to remember. And I'll write them down with my pen and paper if I had one.
Sure. I think we did want to touch on that you can, separately from the tests and certifications, you can also purchase a membership to IAAP. And there's different levels of membership. You can join as an individual or as a company. And I don't know, there's four or five different ones, but the individual one starts at around $200 a year. And I think they also have a discounted one for students. But it gets you access to, they have a library of accessibility training courses that you get access to, and you get a certain number of them for free with your membership. And then you also get access to a community of other IAAP members. And you also get a little badge, that you can display on your website or whatever, saying that you belong to IAAP and support their mission. You do also get a discount on the testing fee. If you take a test, you get, I think it was 20% off or something like that on the tests, if you have a membership. One challenge with the IAAP certifications is that they have very strict continuing education requirements. I want to say it was somewhere in the range of 40 to 50 continuing education credits were required to maintain your certification. The alternative would be to just keep taking the test every time your certification requires. You could go back and take the test, but of course that's very expensive. So my certifications have actually lapsed because I could not keep up with those continuing education credits. I just didn't have time to do that many hours of coursework. And they did count, like giving talks at conferences and things like that, but I can't give that many of them. So you only got 2 hours credit for giving a 1 hour talk, which is a little bit frustrating because, of course, it takes, 40 hours or more to to actually prepare for a talk. So that is not the most efficient way to maintain your continuing education credits. But yes, I found them very challenging to keep up with. So I might have to retake the tests and then see what I can do about maintaining those continuing education requirements.
When they say hours of coursework, like where are these courses coming from? Like what counts?
Oh, the IAAP has some courses themselves that you can do, you know, and then if you're a member, you get access to a certain number of them for free. They also have some other organizations that have made classes like DQ, for example, that are approved by IAAP. And you can take those courses. They have a whole bunch. The Trusted Tester, actually, that we're going to talk about in a second, is actually on their approved list. If you do the Trusted Tester, that counts toward your continuing education credits. And then you can also submit other things. Like if you take a class at a community college or, you know, something like that, you can submit it to them for them to review and approve for your continuing education credits.
Let's see. It kind of sounds like the certification never ends.
It never ends. It never ends. And it's a good thing. They have a good intention there of because technology is changing all the time. Websites are changing all the time. HTML, CSS, and JavaScript change. So they're trying to make sure that your knowledge stays up to date. It's good intentions. It's just, it's pretty onerous right now to try to maintain that. So I don't know. You have to get a good balance there of it's enough to keep you up to date, but it's not so much that it feels impossible to keep up with.
Yeah. Do audits count toward, like your work in auditing, does that count towards the hours? No,
it doesn't.
I think that would be a good way to kind of keep up with it, because as you do work with your certification, it should count.
Yeah. It, like I said, if you're giving a talk at a conference, that will count, but only for a couple hours. Yeah, but no, just showing up and doing an accessibility job every day does not count.
Natalie, does this podcast count?
I don't know. You have to submit it to them to see.
About 10 episodes to the accessibility podcast. Anyway. Let's continue down the list. 508 Trusted Tester.
Yeah, so I think we touched on this a little bit last week. This is a course and certification offered by the Department of Homeland Security here in the United States. It does very specifically train you to test websites and web applications for compliance with Section 508 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. And it is a very challenging course to get through. It is many hours of studying and practice exercises. And then there's a practice test and then a final test at the end. And I think you have to get a pretty good score on the practice test to be able to continue to the final test. And then you need, I think it's like a 95% score on the final test to actually get the certification. So it's a pretty challenging one to get. What's good about it is it's free. Anybody can go onto the Department of Homeland Security website and sign up and start taking the course and take the practice test and the final test, and none of that costs any money. It just costs you hours and hours of your life.
There's nothing truly free, is there?
No. It is a very, very thorough course, and it is also a very opinionated course. Right, because it's an automated test done through a computer. So no human ever reviews your results. And if you disagree with whether or not alt text on an image was appropriate or not, there's nobody to take that up with. You just have to do whatever they have programmed the test to accept as an answer.
I see. So you have to memorize what they gave you in the practice test.
It's too much to even memorize. It's not even that. The way that the test works is actually kind of interesting. So they give you a website to do an audit on, and you do your audit, and record all of the issues that you found. And then you submit it and it will come back and tell you, oh, you found only 40 of the 50 issues that were on this website. And I think you actually get 3 tries to go back and find the other issues that you failed to identify the first time. But they can be anything. So it's really challenging. And the even just doing the test itself takes several hours.
I see. Aside from alt text, is there other success criterion that are kind of biased or have are driven by opinions?
There's quite a lot of them, actually. And if you follow some accessibility professionals online, you'll see they very often get into debates about what is or is not accepted and what does or does not pass. And to the best of our ability, as an industry, we try to resolve those things on objective data from real users using things. But of course, that's not always available on a, 5 minutes notice on a very specific type of issue. So we do try to look at, what affects real users. And then, of course, the other frustrating thing is that something that's good for, say, screen reader users might actually be frustrating or annoying for users with cognitive disabilities. Or something that's great for users who are deaf might be annoying or, some kind of barrier for users with a different kind of disability. So there's not even a clear answer across everyone, right? People with disabilities are not a monolith who all have the exact same needs. So there's a lot of room for gray areas and subjectivity sometimes with accessibility.
Which makes a blanket test like the 508 test are really difficult
and really frustrating, where there were some times that I did not get this certification, but I was working on it at one point, and there were some times where I just flat out disagreed with what the test was saying was the correct answer for something. So that's what you get when you have computers test people.
But free of charge, you can.
Charged. Yeah. It's a good test. There's people are always in different situations in their life. And I would say 508 trusted tester is a good test if you've got more time than money. If you have more money than time, maybe the IAA certifications might be better. There's still quite a lot of studying that needs to be done for those, but it is significantly less than the trusted tester.
Okay, I wrote down my question really quick, but okay. We can continue on to the next one.
Yeah, there's just one more that I know of, and it's possible that there are many others because I don't know everything, but the Web Accessibility Initiative, who is the W3C who actually creates the WCAG guidelines, they have a course called Fundamentals in Accessibility that is free to take. It is free to take the class, and you can get a certificate at the end. You have to pay for the certificate, but it's quite affordable. I think it's around $100, and I know I signed up just to look at the course and kind of see what was involved in it, and they sent me a coupon code for 20% off too. So possibly you don't even have to pay that full fee, but you do have to get a passing score to get your certificate, but it's not like the trusted tester. I think it's 70 or 80% is needed to pass, which is pretty reasonable. The trusted tester is really difficult because it does require such a high passing score, but this one seems more reasonable, and it's I would say it's more roughly equivalent to the CPAC from IAAP. It's not a super technical hands-on, it's not digging into a lot of code or anything like that, but it's a good overview of accessibility.
So it's kind of it's still good enough to conduct audits though, right?
The fundamentals of accessibility, the state of California seems to think so, because that is one of the ones that they're thinking of accepting for that new law that they keep fighting over. For me personally, no, I don't think that's enough to learn to do audits. That is one of the certifications that the state of California is saying now that they'll accept. But no, because it's just that broad overview of what is accessibility, what are the different kinds of disabilities. It doesn't dig into any specifics around, HTML markup and how to use ARIA and different things like that. It doesn't get into any of that.
I see. do you feel like it's equivalent to the IAAP ones? Like the CPAC is not enough to conduct a thorough?
Yeah, I would say it's about the same as a CPAC.
So if somebody is searching for an auditor, your personal recommendation is that they have the CPWA.
That's a good place to start. But because there are so many very experienced accessibility professionals who refuse to get their IAAP certification, I wouldn't make that a hard and fast requirement. But it can be a good indicator that this is somebody who has demonstrated their knowledge on an objective test, right? So that could be a good thing to look for. But I wouldn't rule somebody out just because they didn't have that. Because we don't have an industry standard certification yet. They're handy shortcuts if you're looking to hire somebody, but they're not, it's difficult to say you should always have that.
I see. But for the Section 508, you are mandated to do a trusted tester.
If you want to do that testing for a government agency, you have to have that certification. If you want to do Section 508 testing for somebody who is just providing software or a product or something to the government, you don't have to have that certification.
I see. Do you have any last comments, Natalie?
No, I don't think so.
Do you want to let them know what certifications you've gotten?
Yeah, so I had the CPAC, the WAS, and the CPWA through the IAAP. I did not maintain them, so I am lapsed on those right now, and I have to decide if I want to retake those tests. If I think it would be feasible that I could maintain the continuing education. But those were the ones that I had.
Mm-hmm. And for someone who wants to get started, which one would you recommend?
For somebody who is brand new to accessibility and is just thinking about it, I would probably honestly get started with the free course from the WAI, because you could get into it, learn a little bit more about it, make sure that it's something that you like at no cost. And I think it's only about 20 hours to do that course. And it's self-guided. You just do it on your own time. So that would be a great place to get started for somebody who is brand new.
All right. Thank you, Natalie. I think that should wrap up our episode. It was a longer one, but it was jam-packed with information.
Full to the brim.
Full to the brim. Overflowing. Thank you so much, Natalie. It's always a pleasure. Now it's time to go over where to get started with all this accessibility stuff.
Yeah, well, if you have a website and you're wondering if it's accessible, you can come test your homepage for free at aardvarkaccessibility.com. Just plug in your URL and we'll scan it and look for any accessibility issues, guide you through fixing them.
Perfect. And if you are someone who wants to get started and look into the certifications, start training, Aardvark is also a great place to get started. You can enter in any website on the internet and get a peek at some automated issues that come up for them. And you can compare and contrast. So that basically wraps up our episode.